Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to episode 73 of The Gamesman. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Steve Conger, also known as JSS Lifelike, on basically every gaming service imaginable. And, maybe at least for a little while, we're back to a weekly schedule, but we're going to kind of change it up on you a little bit. I think one week we're going to bring you some game talk, and the opposite week we're going to bring you a sort of quick and kind of, well, not dirty, but we're going to bring you an episode of RPG. So try to keep the news rolling in a little bit of a different fashion and keep the game talk as well. So got a couple of guys here with me. And again, obviously, I mean, do I even have to introduce you anymore? Daniel Natman, Mr. Hardly Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
When are you taking over the intro and stuff? Are you just going to do that for me? Or
No, I'll let you do that.
Oh, I'm already letting you take over RPG, huh?
Yeah, I'm the dungeon master now.
Yeah, writing all the questions and everything. Yeah. And pulling up the third chair in the guest chair for RPG this week is Tiny 415 from the Game Enthused podcast at GameEnthused.com. Sir, how are you?
I am doing pretty well, other than it being incredibly hot here. So yeah. What is going on? It's April.
I don't know, man. I got in my truck after work and I was driving home, and you know, after you kind of get the wind blowing through the baffles, as it were, it drops a few degrees and it still said 85 degrees.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Oh man. I can't get over it. It's insane. And then this cold front's supposed to come through. We're looking at hail, we're looking at all kind of stuff tonight, and it's supposed to drop to 60, I think.
The right temperature.
And people are like, it's going to be cold. 60 is not cold, especially for April.
You got that right.
Oh, God, I can't get over it. So what's new with Tiny since being crowned the Grand Master of Pixel Tracks?
I guess the most recent thing is I turned 29 yesterday. So, yay, one more year till 30. Yeah.
30 therapy starts soon, eh?
Well, if you talk to the people at the bar the other night, it started early. aside from that, we've been recording the Game Enthused podcast. We went to MAGFest. We had a couple people go up to Penny Arcade Expo. There's a chance someone's going to E3. So there's been a lot of really cool things going on, so, and a lot of convention coverage. So
let me ask you a question.
Ask away.
Who thought it was a good idea to have PAX Easter weekend?
Well, I mean, it's cross promotional. PAX Easter, PAX East, like it wrote itself. Gabe and Tycho rose again.
Oh my god!
Really, really not the greatest thing for me to say. So they've already committed that they will never have this happen again. But this is the same thing I gave my co-host Indifference. If you are going to celebrate Easter somewhere in America, go to the most Irish Catholic place on earth in America again.
This is true, Boston. I guess.
So I mean, It was interesting, though. It is nice if you didn't get to go to PAX East. At least one of the rooms was streaming, and it's all up on Twitch. So you can go to twitch.tv and watch a lot of the panels. So it's you can get at least a feel for what was going on there.
I wanted to go this year, but the thing was, it's just, you know, I don't know. I'm not too big into sun worshiping and stuff like that. So Easter has no real meaning to me. But my family, you know, they're all into the whole dinner thing and all that crap. So I would have had to hear that.
Exactly. It wasn't worth the fight, though it seemed like a great time. It's next year. And PAX Prime is in Seattle. So if you get a chance, you get out there. So
yeah, that's probably not going to happen. but
But yeah, no, it's so. But that's the stuff that's been going on. But yeah, no, scheduling PAX over Easter, not the best move.
Yeah, not that great. Dan,
yeah.
Anything new with Dan over the last week?
No, not a huge amount. I've just been playing some more Space Pirates and Zombies. Love that game, man. I think pound for pound, it's actually given me the most entertainment this year than any other game.
Wow.
On a monetary kind of basis, because it was like £1.70 when I bought it.
Jeez.
Spaz is great.
Yeah, fantastic game. I've started a new game because I cocked up the last one.
Well, I think that you have been doing pretty well for yourself as well in the sort of giveaways for sponsors for Extra Life, I think. Yeah. You were telling me.
Yeah, I've been doing fairly well. I mentioned the other week about some stuff that Codemasters sent me, some stickers, T-shirts, badges, stuff like that. Insert Coins T-shirts are giving me 2 £10 discount vouchers.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool of them.
Nice.
And Good Old Games are giving me a couple of dozen codes for an RPG that's just come out.
Oh, sweet.
Can't remember the name of it, but I shall post that on my wall at some point. And yeah, it's looking good.
Nice.
I think also Alchemy Labs has given me a few Steam codes as well.
Awesome. Yeah. See, Tiny, we did it already. I kind of jumped on it. Did you guys form the Game Enthused team yet or no?
We did put together the Game Enthused team, but you're putting me to shame outside of, you know, priming the pump by starting donations. Really haven't done a whole lot with this.
Yeah.
So now I need to get on the ball. Well,
did you get the email about the free Platinum registration thing?
Yeah, we had everyone on our team, so we had about 10 people on our team last year, so everyone's already signed up.
Okay.
And they used their Platinum piece. So I mean, the most we've done is, okay, everyone can come down to the house again and we can all do it here. And yeah. Not gotten any sponsors, so man, I'm slacking this year.
I did actually from Comic-Con, from my hotel room at Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con last year, watched you guys a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I felt so horrible. Like everybody was doing it and I was waiting for the makeup weekend, you know, the official makeup weekend, the week after. But, you know, I also sat in on like a pretty cool Arkham City panel and all kind of stuff up there and saw Jay and Silent Bob and stuff. So I was, you know, I was sort of appeased anyway.
And that's the good stuff. I mean, I'm looking at this year and this year's really is going to be interesting because it's that weekend is the Extra Life. I then get done Extra Life to get on a plane to go to Vegas for the week to get back to go to a wedding. So I'm like,
who the hell do you know that's getting married now? Holy crap.
There's
more weddings than anybody I know.
There's only 5 this year as compared to the 27
only
last year.
5.
So it's a drastic drop. You got to understand, I have like 100 cousins. So,
oh my God.
Big Irish Catholic family. I've got plenty of people that I will be going to their weddings for the rest of my life. So, but yeah, I'm like, I'm not sleeping that week. Great. So, but yeah, no, it'll be fun.
Well, speaking of Comic-Con, I am going to be going this coming Sunday to Pittsburgh Comic-Con, which obviously is, you know, smaller local Comic-Con, right? But I pre-purchased for Sunday my $40 ticket for a photo op with Stan Lee. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited for my wife and I. Yeah. So I never thought that he would come to Pittsburgh, but we, I guess down in the Strip District, in Pittsburgh, they are opening a sort of motion capture film studio. So it's supposed to be the only place like west or east, I mean, of, you know, of Hollywood that one of these, you know, places is supposed to exist. So, you know, if that ends up getting pretty big for Pittsburgh, then we could start seeing some more stuff, you know. It's just so cheap here and the tax breaks are so high, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. I also know, I mean, it's coming up for Pittsburgh. You guys had a drastic filming for what, the Dark Knight Rises? Is that the third one?
Yeah.
So, like, that was all there. Pittsburgh Steelers in the movie. Like,
yeah.
Pittsburgh is coming up on comic books. So,
yeah.
It'll be pretty cool. Did you, since you said Comic Con, did you happen to watch the Comic Con movie yet?
No. I'd like to. I want to. Yeah.
Good. It is on demand or iTunes and a bunch of other places too.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna have to.
It is good. Watch it.
The other thing is, well, okay. So let me make a shit sandwich here. Let me take 2 nice pieces of bread and put all the crap in the middle. So Wednesday was like the worst day of my life, right? I wake up in the morning and I was supposed to meet my dad for breakfast, which I did. But my wife says, take my car. My transmission's slipping. And I'm like, oh, great. Just paid it off. And of course, you know, it's going to be time for a new one. So I got to have that looked at. And yes, it is slipping pretty bad. So then I go and meet my dad for breakfast and then go, you know, consequently after that, pay $1,500 in taxes.
Ooh.
Fun. Yeah, sucks. Then I came back home, called the insurance company because her and I both have cracked windshields from the ice storm, but I just didn't want to fix them until the weather got better, right? So I call there and they say, no, we don't do $50 or $100 deductibles for windshields anymore. It's $500 per car on everything. Oh. Son of a bitch. So I'm going to have to just completely pay out of pocket for both of those. Then I come home and dig a hole in my backyard about the size of a garbage can lid, about 14 inches deep. And then the reason for that was I was driving out to have my dog put to sleep, right? Which I am the only one that she would let touch her. So she literally had to die in my arms, which made me freak out. And then while I'm there, I dropped my brand new Razer Max on the floor and broke the screen.
Oh, I am sorry, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bitch of a day.
$650 phone. I dropped it flat down. I had the OtterBox commuter case on it, and I guess because it was ridged up on the sides, when it dropped, being that the screen's bigger, I guess it structurally it was weaker in the middle. And man, it's cracked. It's like shattered. And then I came home, and obviously the Penguins have been just losing to the Flyers, something terrible, which is driving me up a wall too. But, you know, that was sort of neither here nor there. So I'm back to the old Droid. I'm thankful that I had a phone to go back to, you know?
Right.
But like going back to Froyo is like seeing how the other half lives. You know what I mean? And I never thought I would say that. It's just awful. Like now that I've had, gingerbread for a while. And I was just on the verge of ice cream sandwich. If I'd have gotten ice cream sandwich and then dropped the phone, I might have just took the bridge. You know what I mean? So that happened. But then a great piece of bread yesterday, Lisa and I had tickets to the Michael Jackson, the Immortal Cirque du Soleil performance. And let me tell you, that's probably the only way you could ever get me to go see Cirque du Soleil. And it was awesome.
Cool.
It was incredible, but it was like $200 a ticket. So that was her. I gave that to her for Christmas, and I told her she wasn't getting anything for her birthday. And her birthday came around, and she's like, wow, you're really not getting me anything. I said, no, you're not getting anything.
You're getting a windshield.
Congratulations on that car slipping the transmission.
Yeah, she'll probably get a new car, too. That should be enough. But, dude, I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. There was this chick when they actually did their routine to the Dangerous song. Holy crap. There was this chick in a bikini. She was like pole dancing. She was like an acrobatic ballet stripper. She was pole dancing on a pole that was 50 feet in the air and she's spinning around and doing all this stuff with like minimal use of her hands, like doing all this stuff with her legs and stuff. It was insane. It was the most nuts thing I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't believe it. And then there was this like harpy lady that was sitting next to me. She's like, I bet all the men are loving this. I'm like, yeah, you're right. They are. You're right.
Yeah. Cause obviously they didn't plan for them to love it.
Oh God. But yeah, now there was a dancer who was an amputee. He only had one leg and he used crutches a lot of the times, but he was dancing with those crutches. And like when they came out and did Thriller, his crutches were like bones, you know, and some of them had like, when he came out, they had LEDs in them and stuff like that. So they did a lot of really neat stuff. And that guy got a standing ovation at the end. He was awesome. He was jumping like jumping over his crutches and they put a flag on one of the crutches. So he was waving it out there and stuff. And man, I got to say it was pretty impressive. And I, like I said, I never thought I would dig something like that, but
sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. And I'm actually pleased to say that I spent no money on like t-shirts or anything like that. I told her, I said, you know, this should be enough. $25 for a program? Are you kidding me?
Damn.
Yeah, that was about it with that. I didn't, nachos. That was it. nachos in a ballet. Can you believe it? Or I guess a jazz dance or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I don't know. So, since I've sort of monopolized everything, nothing else going on, Dave, or anything?
Nah, that's the big stuff that's going on right now.
Dan?
No, just still trying to blag more free stuff to give away to sponsors.
All right, well, kind of since I guess the anecdotal stuff's out of the way, Dan, do you want to take up the helm of RPG?
Let's go for it.
All right.
Right, well, the first one, this is one for you, Steve.
All right.
It's called Bazinga, and it comes via the Gamesman podcast.
Wait a minute, what?
Okay, so here we go. The fantastically popular Draw Something has, as we all know by now, been bought by Zynga. In a recent episode of The Gamesman, Steve JSS Life Like Conga was heard to say, "Zynga est el diablo. Zynga is the devil. I do not want any part of anything Zynga." Now you, Steve, are playing the part of Mark Pincus, founder of Zynga, and you have to convince Steve that your company is not the devil and do what you can to make him, to get him back playing your games.
Oh, man, you're an asshole. This is terrible. Okay. Man. all right. Why do I have to do? I can come up with so many reasons to go against this.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the role you're playing.
Okay. All right. So I am Mark Pincus. I am the founder of Zynga. Zynga is a fantastic company. Zynga makes a lot of games that are popular on Facebook. And as we all know, that Facebook and Flash games and things of that sort, the browser is the next big thing in gaming. I'm convinced of that. But, you know, aside from the browser, we also have a mobile division that produces game applications for mobile devices. Draw Something is sort of the latest in a stellar lineup of mobile games that Zynga offers both iOS and Android. Steve, I understand that you are frustrated by social currency and things like that, but that's not the real point of Draw Something. Draw Something is a way for you to connect with your friends via your touchscreen and drawing things and making jokes. It is a social experience. Don't even think about real money transactions, anything like that. That is not the important part. Just keep playing, earning your coins, unlocking new colors, and having a lot of fun with your friends. It's fun. It is a blast. Is that convincing? Or
I mean, has it convinced you?
I mean, do I have to answer that? Because then I pretty much like go against myself.
Well, if it hasn't, then you have to keep on going.
Here for 3 days.
So if you can't convince that Zynga's not the devil, why not give us another person to hate more than Zynga?
Ooh, there's a lot of people to hate. You know who you could hate right now? Mass Effect 3 had a horrible ending. What the hell's up with all these Mass Effect relays anyway? I don't know. Okay, so if I convince myself to maybe play another round of Draw Something, if I ever get a new old phone, maybe, yeah. I don't know. All right, so not as any role, but as me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of crotchety. You know, these social games and these casual things, okay, yeah, I like them, you know, just as much, if not more, than everybody else. You know, I really like Draw Something. I mean, there was a reason that I had, what, Dan, 20 games going at the same time or something?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we got up way over 100.
Yeah, I mean, I really dig what it was because, you know, first off, I'm, you know, self-proclaimed a little bit of an artistic guy, and I liked it.
Is that artistic or autistic?
Well, I mean, you could kind of say either way. I am, you know, I am a stickler for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I never had any intention myself of paying for, you know, real money transactions in the game.
No, neither.
And that was before, you know, before they got bought by Zynga. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, are they still technically OMG Pop, comma, subsidiary of Zynga? Is that what they are now?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. Or have they been completely assimilated?
I have no clue.
Well, I mean, I guess basically, yeah, they have. I mean, I guess that's all you really have to say. But I don't know, man. I guess I will say that I paid 99 cents for the app. I mean, does that say anything? I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't think they're as bad as you've kind of made out in the past. I mean, they've raised more than $10 million for worldwide social causes.
Okay, so maybe not Est El Diablo. I don't know. You know, maybe not the devil. I don't know.
Go with a minor demon like Mephisto or
Mephisto.
Blackheart.
Loki.
Yeah, Loki. Mischief. Yeah. I mean, you're right. Like, first of all, by you paying the dollar, you've actually probably hurt Zynga's earning potential on your game.
Yes.
Because you're not getting sold the ads that they get.
Yes.
So yeah. In the long run, they should make more off the ads than the dollar they made off of you.
Yeah, I guess that's a...
So yeah. You have taken the right way out on that one. But on the other hand, like, there are tons of people who play like Farmville and whatnot and don't put a dollar into the system. Yeah. Hey, great.
I think the problem I have with it is the fact of me simply, like I said, being social currency in order to force other people, or not force, but to sort of lure them and encourage them to spend real money.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of the problem. And I mean, we've talked about this many times. Micros are a slippery slope, man. Big
yeah,
time.
Yeah, they are indeed.
And I think we're on the verge of them coming to consoles, and that scares the hell out of me.
I think if you did have another phone, you would probably go back and have another go on draw something.
Yeah,
you?
Might.
So I guess that's a level up.
Well, you know what? I consider myself to be like an honest guy. At first, the Dead Space game wasn't compatible with my Razer Max.
Yeah.
So I went and bought it for 49 cents, and then I pirated it and put it on my phone, and it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is that an acceptable thing?
I guess so. I mean, I didn't even have the option to buy it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you paid for it, so yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe Zynga is not Est El Diablo. Es no El Diablo, however the hell you say it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Question two. This is for you, Tiny. It's called We Want All Your Monies, and it's by CBG. Microsoft are implementing a new strategy to further monetize Xbox Live subscribers this year, according to a LinkedIn profile. Group product planner Praveen Rutnam, that's her name, revealed on his online CV that he developed a strategy to further monetize Xbox Live subscriber base that will be implemented for holiday 2012. Now, it's unclear what Microsoft's new Xbox Live strategy could be at this stage, and this is where you come in. As Praveen Rutnam, please tell us what Microsoft has up its sleeves. Is it just a price rise, the rumored move away from Microsoft points towards a standard monetary system, or perhaps something else?
So, here at Microsoft, we have some great ideas that are just going to revolutionize the Entertainment Association group.
I'm already laughing.
So, first of all, we're going to walk away from Microsoft points. That's not how we're going to do it. Now, I know all of you think, well, okay, then we'll use our local currency. No, because that means Microsoft's going to lose money. So we're going to go with the most highly rated currency, at least in January 2012, and that's the Kuwaiti dinar. So all of the transactions will now be in dinars. Congratulations. I also think that's the same thing they used in Conan. So guess the cold. So that's idea number one, probably why I had to post my resume. Idea number two, we all know retro's the thing. We're coming out with these HD remakes, and Microsoft's looking back at the early aughts and 90s to figure out what we can do to mine our hipster generation childhoods. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring back usage rates, just like AOL or Prodigy, but we're going to call it XLM, Xbox Live Meter.
Oh, God. So, God, it's like cash cab for Xbox Live. Oh, God, it's like getting a cab.
I just love the way it sounds like Woody Allen talking.
So you're going to, what you're going to be able to do now is you're going to be able to pay us every hour that you use the Xbox. And we've partnered with such great partners like Activision to require you to play for a number of hours online before you can unlock achievements. So that we can ensure our profit we can ensure the customer experience. So this is the final idea we have, and this one is going to blow everyone's mind. We are going to bring back Microsoft points because the dinar thing didn't work out. But what we're going to do is we're going to allow you to pay us to upgrade your dashboard. So if you don't pay, you get crap. And as you pay in more, you get a better experience, ultimately giving you what we'll send you as a human interface device in the mail, or a mouse, so that you can go around the whole system just like Windows 8. So again, I'm out. Thank you. Activision, looking your way. Praveen out.
Oh, that was awesome.
Do you honestly think, as Tiny, do you think that it's going to go to local currency or no?
No, well, I think if they don't want to it has to go to local currency. If it doesn't, because I don't know if they'll go to local currency so far as, I think, like, for example, they'll use the pound in England, but I think it'll be the euro mostly everywhere else. It'll be the dollar here. I think those are the ideas. They'll go to, I guess we'll say, the most popular currency. I mean, they'll do the loonie and the toonie up in Canada. that's an economic crisis. So it makes more sense because first it gives them parallel with the PlayStation, because now we're not doing points and having to remember everything's built on an 80 system. Instead, now it's...
See the maths. Stuff bought on Xbox Live with Microsoft points is actually cheaper than Sony's real money system.
Well, it should be. But sometimes, for example, what was it? I think Sour, the Method Man Sour Patch Kid game that came out this week. Or last week. Yeah. It's $5 on PlayStation, and it was 400 points on Xbox. You do the 80 division on Xbox, and it's $5 that way. Yeah. Like it's so arbitrary, but I understand why, because Microsoft's saying, hey, we're not a bank, and there are banking policies they run into if they start saying we're going to keep dollars.
Mm.
So it's kind of investment on their piece how they're going to do this. The weird part is, though, on the PC, Games for Windows Live, you can just pay money. So yeah. It's like it's not even standard in their system.
Well, the weird thing is, and this is what I don't get, is obviously, okay, I guess just as an aside, whoever came up with the wacky space tokens was a genius. I mean, it was the biggest scam ever. The biggest scam to have extra points left over, you know, to spend on stupid stuff.
You're always going to need to get rid of them or buy more.
But here's the other thing, is that there's no way, it has to be standard money, right? I mean, you can't say, okay, 80 Microsoft points equaled a dollar, but now we're going to go to sort of like what Nintendo does, is every 100 is a dollar.
Right.
There'll be so much confusion, it's just never going to happen. Is it possible that maybe, what's the big game coming this holiday on the Xbox? Is that, you think there's going to be microtransactions in Halo 4?
I mean, I guess, so the question is, and let me go back to the genius part, would that genius have been any different if they had only let you buy in, like, $5, $10, $15 scenarios? Like, the reason you always had extra points left over is because they designed it so that there was always the chance for you to have a remainder.
Yeah.
And that remainder, it didn't matter if it was points or dollars. It's, I have a dollar and I have no idea what I can spend it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, what do I do with 40 points? I think I have 20 points. I don't even know how I got 20 points if I... But I have 20 points that I'm like, I don't, like, how do I even that out?
Well, you know what? I think some of that is like the rewards program where you use Bing and you do it so many times, you get 100 point, Xbox Live code.
Right.
Why give 100 point codes away if 80 is a dollar?
Because Microsoft doesn't talk to Microsoft.
Left hand meet the right hand.
But yeah, I mean, I further monetize the console. It's probably just changing it to dollars. I find it hard to believe that they would change anything with gating Netflix any more than they already do behind an Xbox Live Gold account and whatnot. Like, yeah, it seems like they'd be shooting themselves in the foot. But who knows?
I guess time will tell.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds to me like a level up. Okay, it's time for the...
Boss battle!
Okay, it's kind of a two-parter, both about EA.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. The first one comes to us via GamePolitics.com. and it's about the U-turn. Haven't really got a pithy name for this one. Can't really think about it. But Electronic Arts has quietly changed its policy on suspended accounts. And prior to the changes, if you had a suspended Origin or related forum account for saying or doing naughty or disagreeable things, the company banned your account and make your own games unplayable, even in single-player mode. Now, since the change, people with disabled accounts can still play EA games in single-player mode. The question is, as an EA insider, was the decision to change your policy a direct result of consumer pressure or simply correcting an oversight in the original terms of service? And has this change had any effect on the satisfaction of your non-cheating, polite customers, if any exist? And that's to both of you.
Okay, so I need to correct it. It's actually neither because of the terms of service or because of our consumers. It's because of this is Project $10 Phase 2. We want to be able to sell even the people we don't like DLC. So From Dust for Mass Effect will be available to you people right now. And all you have to do, give us $10. So now Electronic Arts is meeting our consumers' needs by selling you more stuff you didn't know you really wanted. So I think honestly it's a terms of service change that's oversight because they realize Steam does it.
Yeah,
Good Old Games doesn't even track this stuff. But I also think they realize it's earning potential because Mass Effect is the perfect example. The From Dust DLC is now sellable to those people that they previously considered to be outcasts. So it allows them to have a larger audience to sell to.
Yeah, but I think I kind of feel like, what was the little dog that used to jump around Spike in the cartoons? You're like, yeah, that's what he said. I feel like that little dog saying, yeah, and we're not the worst company in America. We're not the worst company in America. I mean, there had to be a lot of pressure. I paid X amount of dollars for this game, and now you're not letting me play it? Are you kidding me? I guess this is kind of the danger with the digital distribution model, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it goes down the same lines as an MMO. It's a service-based model that, like, okay, so there is always the people like, oh, I could get banned for going on the forums and being a jerk. Okay, maybe you shouldn't get your games taken away because of that. But people who go in and game a system that impacts, let's say, 32 or 31 other players in that 32-player match, those people probably shouldn't still be in multiplayer. They should be cordoned off to the everyone else cheating rounds, or they shouldn't be able to impact the rest of your customers' business. And that's what I think the original idea was. We're going to ban you if you decide to try to modify the system. It's honestly the right thing. Look at Call of Duties on the Xbox or PlayStation. Like, no one wants to go back and play old Call of Duties because everyone's jumping around and has like every perk on earth.
And I mean, I guess it's easy to bitch about stuff like this, but I would think as an EA insider, it's a fine line to walk. Whereas, you know, you want to keep your consumer base happy, but at the same time, you have to make sure that you keep the consumer base that's spending most of the money and using your service all the time happy by keeping the jerks out.
Yeah, you're completely right. And I mean, look at the parallels. Steam also will ban you if you're found. Games for Windows Live, if anyone paid attention, would probably ban you too. World of Warcraft, like, and the MMOs do it too. It's not odd. It's just the odd part is the parallel they have with the bull or the forums.
Yeah, it does seem a bit weird that mouthing off in the forum can get you banned from all your games.
And we're not the worst company in America.
Like us, please.
Okay, well, part two comes from Games Industry International. And EA has been inundated in recent weeks with what Games Industry International understands to be several thousand letters and emails protesting the inclusion of same-sex or LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender content in its video games, most notably Mass Effect 3 and Star Wars The Old Republic. When asked, EA confirmed that this has indeed been occurring, and unsurprisingly, EA has no plans to censor any of its games. Every one of EA's games includes ESRB content, descriptors, so it's hard to believe that anyone is surprised by the content. This isn't about protecting children, it's about political harassment, Jeff Brown, VP of Corporate Communications, said. The letters have been directed to EA's executive team, creative heads, its board of directors, and just about anyone at a high level. Many of them threaten to boycott EA's titles if the publisher refuses to remove same-sex relationship content. The Family Research Council, led by Tony Perkins, has been sticking its oar in, saying, in a new Star Wars game, the biggest threat to the Empire may be homosexual activists. You, Steve, are Tony Perkins. Explain to us your views on this subject and why you believe, well, what you believe. And you, Tiny, are Jeff Brown. It's your job to explain and defend EA's actions. So let's start with you, Steve.
All right, so I am Tony Perkins. I guess I don't know. I mean, I guess if I'm Tony Perkins, I'm saying that the good book says that two men ought not lay together. And it's funny because I think that Electronic Arts, I think that they are engendering an environment where they catch the kids early and they indoctrinate them with a lot of this LGBT stuff. And, you know, kids growing up thinking it's normal, where it is not normal. I don't know. It's hard for me not to say something, you know, be Tony Perkins and be like, I don't want to see any of this stuff in my games, bro. You know, I mean, I don't.
So you went from Ghost to.
Yeah, I know. I go from like Reverend Lovejoy to Call of Duty, bro. I don't know. I think as Tony Perkins, I think it's all about the indoctrination of children. I think that's what it is.
So Tony, I, as Jeff Brown, recognize your concerns. I mean, first of all, you should know, and I'm glad you used the word indoctrination. Kind of a big deal in the game. Kind of a theme going on. So, I noticed you played.
Just saying.
I mean, just to throw it out there, the ESRB rating for Mass Effect 3 is blood, partial nudity, sexual content, strong language, and violence. I'm sorry if you feel the ESRB's ratings and terms do not cover what you feel is an unholy sacrilege against man. Because apparently the ESRB doesn't allow me to categorize that way. Because you're dumb. So... In addition to that, and I'm going to take the real geeky approach here, not everyone in this world is a man or a woman. We got asexual races, this is all normal. It's okay. In the world where there's a giant lizard that can't have babies, maybe some of them like dudes. Not a problem. It's not about Adam and Eve, it's not about Adam and Steve, it's about Lizard and Lizzie. I got nothing, dude. I'm sorry you have an irrational hatred for people that just want to be happy.
Listen.
Good luck with that. I'm going back to the worst company on earth.
Now listen, Jeff, don't you watch Fox News? Didn't you see this years ago? Didn't you see this 8 years ago?
I seem to remember Jeff Keighley going on a program where they told me, oh man, people are having sex. Not just lesbian, gay, and transgender, and bisexual people. Just, you know, people, because that's what
Electronic
they are.
Arts is a habitual line stepper.
By line stepper, do we mean that we recognize people have sex? Because that's an important thing for people to do. Base kind of thing for us.
You're constantly pushing the envelope and breaking up the American family.
Could you point me to some figures that show Mass Effect, because of the sex in it, broke up a family, not because the two people disagreed on the ending?
Mass Effect is part of American culture, the little tiny, and actually it's probably not little and tiny, the huge part of American culture that is completely corrupting the youth of this country and the world.
Ah, so what you're saying is Mass Effect was the reason that we have lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people. I see. So this has been a problem for 8 years. And when you guys were complaining about Ellen being on the Disney Channel or on ABC, that was just a coincidence. Because it was Mass Effect's fault. Commander Shepard was behind it all.
It is not Mass Effect's fault, but Mass Effect is not helping matters any at all. And Electronic Arts, for that matter.
So let me turn it around. Why should Mass Effect help your agenda?
Well, I mean, but isn't the story of Commander Shepard a messianic allegory?
Does Commander Shepard wear a crucifix around his neck? Has he gone around and saying, I only believe in the New Testament of the Bible? You know what? There isn't even a Bible in his boardroom, captain's chambers, quarters. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because he's, I'm sorry, apparently not a practicing Catholic or Christian. I really should go Christian there. Jeff, are you responding that Christians were the first people to have a messianic allegory? Because that's not true.
Okay, this is bullshit.
I'm just going to throw that out there. In the Mass Effect universe, which we all recognize as a piece of fictional work, Jesus did not go around burying dinosaur bones to fool us. Evolution actually occurred, and we see that across the introduction of, for simply 800 Microsoft points, the From Dust DLC, where you can tell, where he will tell you all about the evolution of the Asari and the Hanar, and even the humans. Available now on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network.
So, I guess, as an aside and sort of out of character, I mean, have we made it clear enough how ridiculous this is?
Yeah, I think so.
This guy's a moron.
Thanks. But I don't know. I mean, and I guess you could say that it's not EA's titles. It's actually pretty much all BioWare titles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess The Sims allowed you to have same-sex couples, which is an EA title. I'm trying to think of anything else.
Nobody wants to go against The Sims because everybody in the world plays it, I guess.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. I mean, The Sims. Sims Online had a lot of problems, like prostitution on the MMO. Oh, that's a whole other story, though. yeah, I can't think of any other LGBT characters in EA's lineup.
Yeah, not really. I don't think there is.
So,
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. It's kind of six of one, half dozen the other, right? I mean, because you're getting pressure from both sides. But I don't know. Normally, and this is what blows my mind, several thousand letters and emails, really, like, about the inclusion. I thought, isn't that always a positive thing? Isn't that what people clamor for?
Any publicity is good publicity. Good publicity.
I guess.
It's. I mean, this is no different than, again, and I talked about it when ABC got attacked for having the Ellen DeGeneres show. These are people that feel, right or wrong, their convictions have them in conflict with a popular medium, and they feel the medium should adapt to their needs.
Yeah.
And it's. It doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, there have been same-sex couples in MMO. Like, Star Wars isn't the first. It's maybe, like, the first to officially recognize it. But go back to EverQuest or Ultima. I'm pretty sure that the geeky guy who presided over all those marriages probably married a few guys and a few girls to a few guys and a few gals. Like, it's not a new concept. And we'll also ignore, and this was actually the last thing I forgot to say, Mass Effect 3 is a mature-rated game, not recommended for children. So even though we have no stance against LGBT and we encourage it, including EA going with the It'll Get Better video, they produced one. It's a mature-rated game. It has content in it that's not appropriate for kids. Yeah. So if you're going to allow your child to play it, then you should be aware and be able to explain what's going on from both a sexual as well as a violence, and why these choices are being made.
Was there any lesbian and gay content in Star Wars The Old Republic?
There is now. It's, See, this was weird, because if I remember correctly, it's actually because you can have a transgendered, Darth Vader can be a chick, is what it comes down to. Like, it's not, you're not getting married, if I remember correctly, though maybe your companion. You might get it on with your companion. I didn't play long enough. But the big part I remember reading about this start of the article was that your Darth Vader could become a chick. And, oh my god, now Darth-ness Vader is going to blow up Alderaan, and now she has a vagina, so that's a problem.
Is it just me that finds it kind of odd of the whole, like, George Lucas Iron Fist thing?
Well, I mean, you're not playing as actually Darth Vader. You're your own character.
Yeah, but I mean, I have a hard time believing that anything associated with Star Wars would let that sort of material in.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, just watch the first film. I mean,
I mean, he was kind of...
C-3PO is outrageously camp.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess, but I mean, you don't see that as a kid, you know?
I don't know. I think I did.
I mean, kids, maybe. Kids are smarter than I think we give them credit for. They pick up on that kind of stuff. I mean,
you might be right.
I mean, Lucas had a lot of other problems with the movies. Natalie Portman looked like she was like having sex with a 10-year-old. Because that kid is way too young for her. She's supposed to be 14. He's 10. Yeah, I don't think so.
But as long as they're different sexes, it's all right.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
There's incest in there. Skywalker kisses his sister.
Exactly. But that's cool. See, he didn't have a problem with that. It's once Darth Vader could be a chick. Yeah. So, I don't get these people that come from. And maybe I'm being intolerant because I don't understand their intolerance. But, the people that have this approach just seem dumb.
Well, I don't know. I think to kind of shove the sword through the heart of the beast. To me, this whole thing looks like entitlement on both sides of the ball.
I just have this horrible picture in my mind of some massive circle jerk going on.
Could be in a BioWare game.
Next thing, they'll be introduced to orgies, and you'll be having sex with dead people, and where is it going to end? Yeah. I don't understand.
I will not let my kid play that casket-slapping simulator.
That's enough. Yeah, it's time to move on.
Yeah, I think the beast is down, and that is a level up.
All right, that was a little more animated of an RPG, I think, than we've had in a long time.
That was fun.
Anyway, all right, let's clean this thing up and get out of here. Tiny, any shout outs for you?
I guess I'll shout out GameEnthused.com. We do a podcast weekly, pretty much. Every once in a while there's a break. So check it out. A lot of like indie titles we cover, even though they only have to be on Xbox because no one else plays PC. So check that out with my co-host Indifferent, Assault Suit, and Big Rob. Other than that, to thank you guys for having me on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on.
So, but that's all I got.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, quick shout out to Good Old Games for the Steam codes they're sending to me to give away to whoever sponsors me. And, God, I have no idea how to actually pronounce this guy's name. One of my followers on Twitter at Quercus, I don't know, Quercuas. He's given me a sponsorship for Extra Life.
Sweet. Excellent.
Steve, what about you?
Nice. For me, Tiny, of course. Thank you. I know it was kind of short notice, but... I appreciate you coming on. And of course, vghub.net. If you haven't heard me speak it before, then I don't know, you must not have been listening. This must be your first show because I kind of shout it out all the time. Great gaming content over at vghub.net. So, web for the week to come. Tiny, where can people find you, for the following week?
Tiny415 is, I think, Twitter, PSN, Xbox Live. Steam, it's D Whalen, which that'll be, you can find it from my Twitter and GameEnthused.com for, articles where I write every once in a while. So, or about Mass Effect videos where I say DLC is not a bad thing, but that's a whole nother story. Cause I work for EA.
Yeah.
So.
Dan, what for the week to come?
Yeah. As ever, I'm hardly down just about everywhere. So just pop that into Google and we'll probably pop up.
Sweet.
What about you, Steve?
You know me. I'm old reliable. JSSLIFELIKE pretty much everywhere. That's PSN. That's Xbox Live. That's Steam. That's Skype. That's Twitter. And I don't know if Mark Pincus or whatever the hell his name is has anything to do with it. It'll be Draw Something Again too, I guess. I don't know. So don't forget the iTunes reviews, Dan.
Yeah. We need them. We haven't had any for ages.
Yeah, the well has run dry on the iTunes stuff. Yeah. Also, Stitcher, your Stitcher app, Stitcher actually on your PC or the Stitcher app on your phone. You can catch the Gamesman on there. And, we want more voicemails. Call the RPG hotline at 412-267-RPG1 if you have any suggestions for news stories for a future RPG show or, maybe some soundtrack music you want to hear in the regular show or whatever. So, let us know. We want a little feedback.
Don't forget to check out our Facebook page and like us there. And, you can email us at, thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter as well. Our account is @thegamesmanrpg. And you can also listen to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thegamesmanrpg.
Yeah, you can act like you're doing something at work.
Yeah.
But not really. All right, well, that's about it. Like I said, thank you, Tiny. Thank you, Dan. Excellent job writing the questions for RPG.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I had a good time. So on behalf of Hardly Dan and on behalf of Tiny415, I am Lifelike, we are the Gamesmen, and until next time, we ask...
What role
will you play?
It's over now. But I can read somehow.
Not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion for a full refund.